This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. You're listening to the UAE's number one talk radio station.
This is Afternoons on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Helen Farmer with you on today's Afternoons in conversation with both an ophthalmologist and an author. Dr. Yasmin Unhand talking about the role of preventative screening when it comes to our children's eye care and the Misty Mole book series that she has written as a result of her passion. Plus, ahead of International Women's Day, an event that's happening this very weekend, shining a light on women that haven't previously been celebrated. I was going to say we're meeting the author, but she's not just an author. Dr. Yasmin El Roubi is a Canadian-trained eye doctor. She's been practicing since 2000, and she works here in the UAE, but she also has a non-profit organisation and is the author of the Misty Mole picture book series. And I've got them in front of me, and Yasmin, they are so cute. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much, Helen. I'm so happy to be on the show.
I'm really, really interested to kind of dig into your why, if that makes sense, because, you know, when it comes to writing children's books, my goodness, you know, trying to get across a concise, important message in a way that children understand, in a way that, you know, parents want to read, is a bit of a challenge, especially when you are tackling a topic such as health, which is your why, to what I understand. But before we get to the books, I'd love to get a bit of an understanding about children and eyes in general. You know, when we're thinking about people worldwide, I say this wearing my glasses, how many people do have a vision impairment? Do we know?
So yeah, like 2.2 billion people worldwide have a vision impairment that could have been diagnosed early on and prevented.
Wow.
And about only, you know, 1 billion of those could have received the proper care if they would have just gone for an eye test. So it's really important to get people in for an eye screening, and especially kids, because the younger we start, the better prognosis we have to treat the vision disorder.
It sounds like, you know, go in for an eye screening, but when you don't, and when things do go untreated, especially in less developed parts of the world, this impacts ability to earn and support family.
Exactly.
You know, to move around in the world, literally and figuratively, you know, it is so, so impactful.
It impacts their educational attainment, psychological impact, just their social life is impacted as well. And so it's so important to correct their vision as early as possible so that we can give them a better life chance.
Tell us about your nonprofit. Where are you reaching communities, and what's that look like in the past, Yasmin?
So I started my nonprofit. It's called Basira Vision International. I started that in 2018. I was on a trip to Uganda with a close friend of mine who sponsors orphans. And we were doing eye screenings in the villages. And I realized then that about 20% of the population that we were screening had undiagnosed refractive errors that, you know, were impacting every aspect of their lives. And I just thought, you know, it's amazing what just a simple pair of glasses can do to change the lives of all these children. And so we do try to go to communities worldwide. I've been to Uganda. I've done vision screenings in Jordan. I'm planning to do one shortly in Egypt. But even here at home, and even in developed countries, it's really shocking how many children have undiagnosed refractive errors of the eyes. And unfortunately, at the moment, there's no worldwide, you know, mandatory policy on eye screenings.
And I think that's why I find it quite confusing, because having come from the UK, and don't get me wrong, the NHS has its flaws. But, you know, there's screening within schools. You get a letter through the door saying, you know, it's been, you know, a year since your eye test, you know, make your appointment. Whereas the onus is very much on the parents here. And we know how busy parents can be. We know that perhaps the messaging isn't coming from schools on, oh, we've noticed that so-and-so is struggling or is squinting or is asking to be closer to the whiteboard.
Yeah.
And kids can just fall through the cracks.
And unfortunately, some vision disorders you can't even see the early signs, you know, because, for example, there's a condition called amblyopia where you have one good strong eye and the other eye doesn't see, and so it continues to weaken because it's never been stimulated. And so that could have been caught early on with just a simple eye check and it could have been corrected. But by the time these kids come through the door, they've, you know, the parents realize, oh my God, my child can't see out of this eye.
A message here saying, does Yasmin know where we can donate old glasses? I am so glad you have asked this, because it's something that I've been thinking about. Because, you know, there might be the odd scratch here, or, you know, your prescription changes or your style changes. I think a lot of people that do wear glasses, especially who've got a straightforward, you know, reading glass prescription, probably has a drawer with a few pairs. So I might leave you to have a ponder on that, unless you've got an answer to hand.
Well, before the COVID pandemic, I was actually collecting them. But during COVID, things kind of, you know, turned upside down, got complicated. And since then, I, you know, that's a good question, because I actually have to look into that again and I have to get that kickstarted again. But I know that other big opticals are doing that as well.
Okay.
I think maybe Maghrebi was doing it at some point, maybe Al Jaber. But yeah, there's definitely places where you can donate old glasses.
And I think it's not even just about, you know, looking at places, you know, like Uganda or, you know, developing countries. But even, you know, we look at, you know, labourers here.
Yes. You know, I've done actually eye tests in the labour camps, and we also found a lot of undiagnosed refractive errors.
I'm
but
sure.
Not just refractive errors. You've got cataracts, you've got glaucoma, you've got all sorts of eye diseases that, if caught early on, can be addressed.
We're going to be talking about the importance of discussing this with our kids in a fun way. We have got in studio Dr. Yasmin El Roubi, Canadian-trained eye doctor and author of the Misty Mole books. There are three in front of me. We're going to be talking about those next.
This content is for informational purposes only. If you would like to seek medical treatment, please contact a certified healthcare provider for personalized advice and diagnosis.
It is an expert of a different kind in the hot seat now. Dr. Yasmin El Roubi is a Canadian-trained eye doctor. She's been practicing for over
20 years, but I won't tell you my age.
Don't. She was the youngest ever qualified doctor. She's also the author of the Misty Mole picture book series. I've got the three of them in front of me, and I wanted to ask you about your mission, your motivation behind those books.
So my mission is to spread awareness about the importance of early vision screenings, the importance of detection of these vision disorders that can cause, if we don't treat them, can cause lifelong vision impairment. And so if we catch them early, we can really do something about it and we can change the lives of these children. I'm so passionate about this, and I've been passionate about it my whole life. I think that doing it in the form of a picture book can be an interesting talking point between children and their parents. So I'm hoping that it will spark a lot of interesting conversations.
I think it will, because it's not like, you know, going to the ophthalmologist and getting a leaflet that you then look at with your child, which you're never going to do in a million years. And it's, you know, not even necessarily hearing some of the stats that we were talking about earlier. It's about getting kids on board and opening up. You know, books are such a powerful gateway to what can sometimes be difficult topics or topics where you think, oh gosh, you know.
Well, you said something very important about getting children on board, because one of the struggles that I face is because of the myopia epidemic, which by 2050, they say that more than 50% of the world's population will be nearsighted. And that's a staggering number, because myopia is not just a refractive disorder of the eye, but it actually can cause irreversible ocular complications. So when the kids come to see me and we're counseling the child about the importance of taking breaks from screens and looking at things far away and playing outside and being outdoors, you know, the kids really have to understand the impact of that, because the parents want it for their kids, but the kids have to want it for themselves.
And screens is at the heart of one of the books about...
It's a whole book. I devoted a whole book to the importance of decreasing screen time, because I see firsthand the effects of screens on our children's eyes, and especially during the COVID pandemic, this really exploded, because we saw a huge spike in the number of myopia cases and the myopia progression as well.
Can I ask, as a mum and as a journalist, how bad are screens? And are screens equal? You know, is it phones versus iPads versus TVs?
I can't tell you that we need to completely eradicate screens because that's not realistic. We live in a digital world, so we're not eradicating screens. But what we're trying to do is decrease screen time. And there are ways to do that in an effective way that's good for that promotes ocular health. So there's something called the 20-20-20 rule. So for every 20 minutes of near work, whether it be on an iPhone or an iPad or even reading for that matter, although reading, not all screens are equal. Like you said, we look at something 20 feet away for about 20 seconds. So that gives our eyes the chance to refocus and we take a break. And, you know, as you said, not all screens are equal because smaller screens held closer up are more dangerous than bigger screens held further away. So working distance is key.
Question here saying, where can I take my six-year-old for an eye test that is good and at the same time kid-friendly?
So, I mean, there are great places in Dubai. I actually work in Abu Dhabi, so I'm not an expert on
I can tell
Dubai.
You.
Moorfields is good, I guess.
I took my six-year-old to Moorfields and they've got
American
a kind of
hospital.
Very, you know, I don't know how to put it, kind of child-friendly room and the doctors. The doctors have to be nice.
They have to, yeah.
I would say Moorfields because I can only speak from personal experience and they were really good with the follow-up as well because my six-year-old's got astigmatism in one and da-da-da-da-da. And it has to be easy. Like it's got to feel convenient. So I'm saying, where can we find this lovely doctor? So where are you currently practicing, Yasmin?
I work at Cleveland Clinic in Abu Dhabi.
One of the best around, for sure.
I do love the working environment there and the team there is amazing. We have great doctors there as well.
Back to the books. Where can people find them?
So at the moment, they're only available in the UK. The launch date in the UAE is going to be June 11th. And they're also going to be launched in the US and Canada. But for now, they're only available online. So I'm going to have to...
you have to come back in June.
Yeah, I'm going to have to come back in June and give you guys an update.
Well, huge congratulations. I think, you know, I mean, I can't even imagine trying to balance, you know, being a doctor and a mum for... And writing books. I think you're amazing. And obviously the non-profit as well.
I also love your show. So thanks for having me on the show and
my
giving
pleasure.
Me this opportunity.
I think it's really important to be having the conversations that, you know, we might find a bit difficult sometimes or we don't know how to approach with our kids. And as I said, books can be an amazing springboard for some of that.
They really are.
And also Misty Mole is adorable.
So thank you.
Will you come back in June? We can get the books here.
I would love to.
And in the meantime, we'll do some digging on where we can donate glasses to because I think that's a really important one. Yeah. And if anyone does want to find out more about that non-profit that you run, remind us of the name, Yasmin.
It's called Basira Vision International.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
If you want to send me the word I or the I emoji and I will send you all the links. Dr. Yasmin Al-Rubi, an absolute pleasure to speak to you. Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.
This content is for informational purposes only. If you would like to seek medical treatment, please contact a certified healthcare provider for personalized advice and diagnosis.
Ahead of an event tomorrow celebrating International Women's Day, in conversation now with Dana, the founder of Mompreneurs. She's brought together, actually through nominations, an incredible lineup of women for Unsung Sheroes. It is going to be there tomorrow and Saturday at Times Square Mall. And Mompreneurs itself is a community of over 4,700 female entrepreneurs who live here in the UAE. Dana, happy early International Women's Day. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you. Happy to be here. Thank you.
I'm amazed you found time organizing this this big event. So thank you so much. Tell us about Unsung Sheroes. What's your mission with that initiative?
I want to acknowledge women who, as every woman, we are all special in our own way and we have our own impact. But we are entrepreneurs. I work with entrepreneurs. I'm an entrepreneur. We are used to putting ourselves out there. It's all marketing and we get used to it and we look for it. Now, there are other women who are not entrepreneurs or maybe are at the beginning who, whatever, they are a bit, humble, shy, and they are doing such an amazing work and they don't even realize it. So I thought this year, let's acknowledge them. Let's tell them how extraordinary and how beautiful souls they are.
So it wasn't them nominating themselves then. It came from someone else saying this woman deserves some spotlight, some credit, some praise.
Yes, we have their friends, family members, just nominate. I nominated my best friend.
Oh, what makes her special?
Well, she doesn't even know when I told her, I want to nominate you. She said, no, why? And then I told her, because you are doing an amazing work. Her daughter, if I might share her story, her daughter was born with a heart, genetic disease or something malfunction. And then 1 year old, she had an open heart surgery and she had to have a pacemaker on. And she wanted to know, how is it to be as a toddler at that age? How is living with a pacemaker? What's the life? What can she do when she cannot? And because she couldn't find any information, she thought of creating herself. So she had she has now an Instagram account where she posts about leaving a small child living with a pacemaker.
Wow. So you nominated your best friend. How many women have been nominated and are going to be speaking over the next couple of days?
We have 15 nominated and not so many. I mean, some of them, they cannot make it because as mothers, women, they have other commitments. But we hope to have most of them there. Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the format. We've had a message going, tell us about the event, just tuned in. Is it Women's Day Networking? Is it networking as such, or is it more of kind of inspirational and panels?
Inspirational networking will be there. There is going to be, it's a market. There is, we have kids activities, which are done by mother entrepreneurs. So it's you're going to meet us there. We're there. I'll be there.
Times Square Mall. What time is it all taking place?
It starts at 10 a.m., the event, and ends at 7. And Unsung Heroes is at 3 p.m. tomorrow and at 2:30 on Saturday.
I think it's so, so important. I mean, not just obviously for the women themselves to have the credit, but also for, you know, families that are going along, for other women to see women being held up and praised and celebrated. And as you say, sometimes these accomplishments can be these big, you know, jaw-dropping, you know, record-breaking. Sometimes, as you said, it's about showing up and being brave and representing yourself or your family or your culture in quiet ways and just doing it. Does that make sense?
Yes, I'm impressed by the nominations we had. And some of them, they are simple. It's someone who really, her name is Becky, and she was nominated. And she's a busy mom, she's a teacher, and she still finds time to help others, children, other women, learn how to sail.
Wow.
So, yeah, she's doing that because she wants to help.
So it is too late, unfortunately, to nominate someone, although I would say if someone comes to mind, just tell them how amazing they are. I think everyone always appreciates that, and maybe take a little minute to reflect on your own accomplishments, because I can tell you what, you're more impressive than you realise. There might not be medals or awards, but someone appreciates you, I can guarantee that. And for anyone that does want to find out more about Mumpreneurs as a, you know, as a community, Dana, what's the best way of getting in touch with you?
We are on everywhere, I'd say. We have a website, Mumpreneurs UAE. We are on Facebook. This is how you join our community, Mumpreneurs UAE. We are on Instagram, which I happily shared that I was coming here. Yes, so find us. And anywhere you look, Mumpreneurs UAE search, we are there.
I'll make it even easier. If you want to send me the word mum, I will send you the link. The event is taking place tomorrow. It's open to all. It's free to attend.
Free to attend, yes.
From 10 o'clock tomorrow, Times Square Mall, the chance to meet some mumpreneurs, to support them, and of course to hear the amazing stories of the women that have been nominated as unsung heroes here in the UAE. Dana, fantastic initiative. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you, Helen.
My
Thank you, everyone.
Pleasure. And thank you for downloading this episode of the Afternoons with Helen Farmer podcast. Don't forget, you can subscribe. You'll get direct to your phone as soon as it's out. And you can listen to me live on Dubai Eye 103.8, Monday to Friday between 2 and 5 p.m.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.